You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
What is up? Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 7th. Willie and Debro here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Derek at Debro underscore FFB. And hit us up on the main page at FFB underscore 247. On today's show, we got a jam-packed one, man. We are going to talk top fantasy games of the week, dive into some Week 10 DFS targets, and hit that 247 trademark it. Debro backing at it again. What's up, my man?
It's Week 10, man. It's ready to roll time right now, buddy. I'm lit, man. I'm ready for the fantasy playoffs to get here soon and for us to be grabbing some titles.
Dude, it's only weeks away, so yes, we do need to be grabbing some titles, at least buckling up for hopefully, that title run. All right, before we get rolling, don't forget to enter to win that signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame Edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Be sure to leave your Twitter handle or email in your review so we can get a hold of you if you are the lucky winner. So let's do this. Let's start with the top fantasy games of the week, man. Some firepower games. We are circling on our calendar. What's the first game that you got marked up?
Oh, man, for me, the first one that I got to get to is the Seahawks versus the Rams. And I feel like this has all the trappings of a shootout in this one. You have Russell Wilson coming into this. Dude, the Seattle Seahawks are 32nd in pass plays per game. And look, Russell Wilson is 25th in passing yards. The thing that has kept his boat afloat has been the fact that he is 6th in passing touchdowns. He's got 18 right now. And I think that he's going to continue that. We just saw the Saints absolutely torch this secondary, and I think that you're going to see that continue this week for the Seahawks taking on this Rams team, because Seahawks are going to have to put up the points to keep up. On to the running backs. Chris Carson is dinged up, man. Hip injury, thigh injury. Ethan kind of talked about it. You know, I don't know if he suits up in this one or not, but if he doesn't, Mike Davis is going to give it a go in this one. And when Mike Davis has been given the load, dude, the Seahawks have run the most running plays in the NFL so far this season. They are the most run-heavy team. And I don't think that could be dismissed, man. Mike Davis, in the two games that he was given the starter's chair, was RB6 and RB11. Hell, dude, he's even averaging 6 targets per game in those two. So you got to like him. If he's out on waivers, snag him right now, especially if you're a Chris Carson owner. As far as the wide receivers in this one, I think that this is a hard group to trust week to week. I mean, everybody keeps the faith and wants to think that Doug Baldwin's going to be there and he's going to put up the numbers. I don't know how healthy he is. As far as on-field performance, dude, he's only had one game where he had above 7 targets, only 2 games above 70 yards, and no touchdowns on the season. None of these guys that are going to be rocking this for Russell Wilson, I'm looking at as more of anything than a wide receiver 3, because it's just so hard to predict. If I'm going to put my money with any of them, and I'm talking about, you know, Doug Baldwin, I'm talking about Tyler Lockett and David Moore in this one, my money's going to be on Lockett to have the big game here. I mean, the guy has been stacking up touchdowns, 6 touchdowns in his 8 games. He is tied for 10th in the NFL with 20-plus yard receptions on the season. I talked about how the Saints burned the Rams secondary and Marcus Peters repeatedly. I think Lockett sees the most of Peters in this game, and I think Lockett is going to burn him deep at least once. David Moore is also somebody to keep on your radar. Coming off a game where he saw a season high in snaps, targets, and routes. So if you're looking for that desperation, just throwing up a prayer, kind of flex for the week, it's not a bad one to do, man, because I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. As far as the tight ends, Ed Dixon and Nick Vinette are just trading big days back-to-back, splitting snaps. You just don't know who to trust in this one. Either one of them could have a good game in this one, because we've seen the Rams give up points to tight ends. Over to the Rams side of the ball, there is not a whole lot of analysis to be had for the Rams besides if you have a Rams player, and I'm talking about Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Woods, Cooks, or Kupp, I don't need to tell you or make a huge case to tell you to start them. And if you're not starting them, if you're trying to get what I think is too cute, then you deserve the L that you're going to get on the week, because Goff is the QB3, Gurley's the RB1 in fantasy, and the rest of those wide receivers are in the top 20, with Woods being wide receiver 10, Cook is 15, and Kupp is 18. And considering he missed a few games because of injury, that doesn't even do this man justice. He is wide receiver 12 in points per game on the season. If you got him, you start him. There's no other way to say besides that. If I'm going to peg any one of those wide receivers, because every single week we're worried about, okay, who is it? Who's going to be the guy that is going to go off, especially in this matchup? My money's with Robert Woods, and I put that with he's going to see Seattle's cornerback Griffin a lot in coverage, and considering that out of Robert Woods' highest routes, okay, the routes that he has run the most and been targeted on, curl out and his slant route, the guy has an 81% catch rate in those, and two of his three touchdowns have come on those three routes. When Griffin has covered wide receivers in those routes, on those 14 targets, he's allowed 12 receptions. So I love all the Rams and especially Robert Woods in this game, Willie.
I love it, man. That is going to be a good game, no doubt. Like you said, the Schottenheimer running approach that we talked about has come to fruition. I just watched, you know, their game, obviously, against the Chargers. And I don't know, man. I'm just not the biggest fan. Hey, if you can run the ball, run the ball. But it's not that great for Russell Wilson in fantasy unless he's scoring touchdowns at the rate he is right now. But I'm pumped for that one. Next game I'm pumped for, dude, is the Falcons at the Browns. We'll start with the quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield will be coming off that top 13 finish among quarterbacks last week. He needs to be taking on a Falcons defense that has allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. You'd love to see that. Falcons also giving up the sixth most passing yards, fifth most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks, which makes Mayfield a great streamer, in my opinion, this week. For Matt Ryan, there's no way you aren't feeling good about starting the number two quarterback in fantasy right now. Coming off that four-touchdown game against a tough Redskins defense, man, has had a touchdown in seven of his eight games this year and has thrown multiple touchdowns in five of those eight. Going up against the Browns, that sits right around the middle of the pack when you're talking about terms of fantasy points given up to opposing quarterbacks, but they have given up the second most passing yards to quarterbacks. They're also allowing the fourth most completions to quarterbacks. So I expect Matt Ryan to have another big game here. For the running backs in this one, I love the running backs in this matchup. I'm going to have a ton of exposure to these running backs. We'll start with Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith. Good game lined up here, man. Going up against a Browns defense that has allowed more rushing touchdowns to RBs than any other defense in football. Fifth most yards, fourth most receiving yards to running backs. I like Coleman a little more. He had the bigger game last week, but I still like Ito here. You know, Coleman only outtouched this guy 18-11 last week. I think that kind of gets the people aren't taking that into consideration when they're looking at box scores. I see Coleman has a, you know, an RB2 range and for me this week, and Smith is a really strong flex play, in my opinion, for the Browns running backs. Falcons defense, man, this is a Duke Johnson game, man. They have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs. Like I said, I like Duke Johnson a little bit over Chubb here. Should be no surprise that the Falcons have allowed the most receptions and receiving yards to running backs this season. We saw Duke Johnson's ceiling last week when he gets involved, and the Browns should have to put up points to stay in this game. Both guys are very strong running back options this week. For the wide receivers in this one, both of the defense rank inside the top 10 in terms of fantasy points given up to the wide receiver position on the season. Falcons giving up the fourth most, Browns giving up the ninth most. This matchup could even get juicier with Julio Jones if the Browns don't have Denzel Ward. We don't know. He got injured last week, so we'll see what his status is. Calvin Ridley could have himself a good game here too. He saw nine targets last week, had 71 yards. So you got to feel good about those guys rolling them out there. Calvin Ridley obviously not in the same hemisphere as Julio Jones, but he's still a you know, viable option depending on bye weeks and whatnot. For Cleveland, I think this is a good Jarvis Landry bounce back game going up against Brian Poole, man. He has had two down games now, but I'm rolling him out with confidence. As far as the other Browns wide receivers, I don't want to have to rely on them just because of the consistency or lack thereof that we've seen to this point. If I had to pick one, I still think I'm going to lean a little bit towards Antonio Callaway only because of His snap percentage was the second highest out of those wide receivers. But Rashad Perriman, man, he is my sneaky tournament, one of my sneaky tournament dart plays. He led the team in air yards last week, had the ninth most of any receiver in the league last week. The only problem is he only played 35% of the snap. So if we can see a snap rate go up a little bit, Rashad Perriman is a guy that was getting targeted last week in terms of air yards when you're looking at that stat. And it is worth noting that the Falcons just allowed 124 receiving yards to Maurice Harris. So, crazier things can happen than Rashad Perriman finally having a monster game. For the tight ends here, Austin Hooper is going to be going up against a defense that has allowed the fourth most receptions to the position, but they have done a really good job of not allowing those receptions to turn into big production. In terms of what he's been doing, Hooper has three receptions and under 50 yards and no touchdowns in back-to-back games. But look, let's be honest, he might be your best options depending on other ones. I don't love Hooper, but, I mean, it could be worse. For David Njoku on the opposite side, he doesn't have a standout good matchup on paper, but I'm trusted in the talent here, man. He's had the eighth most air yards among tight ends last week. But the concerning part is he only has seen a 10% target share over the last 2 weeks. That number absolutely has to go up. You might as well flip a coin, but I'm probably rolling him out there if I have him, just because chances of having a better option probably are not that great based on what we've seen in the tight end position.
Yeah, and I probably like Njoku a little bit more than you on this one. I think that he had five targets last game, secured four of them. I think this with Kitchens running the offense right now, I really hope this continues with Duke, like you're talking about, man. I think that Baker has a good game in this one because I'm really hoping that they solidify the top three options in this passing offense to be Landry, Njoku, and Duke, because I feel like they're all solid options instead of Butterhands, Perriman, or can't catch Callaway. Like, both of those have been shaky for Baker so far. So if they run those other three guys out there as the top three options and looks in the passing progressions, then I definitely like the Browns a lot more for the rest of the season. I'm curious, man. What do you see Nick Chubb doing in this game? Because Grady Jarrett being back, I'm kind of worried about it, man. I just don't see him having, outside of like goal line looks and maybe getting a touchdown or two, because we know he dominates the goal line looks. I just don't see him having a great game in this one.
No, I agree with you, and I think that's kind of what we've seen from him. He's kind of, you've been banking on volume and those goal line touches, because it's not like he's, ripping off those monster runs that we've seen him do a couple of. But like you said, man, the matchup doesn't line up great. If the Browns are smart, they do need to rely more on Duke Johnson, and those do need to be their three primary pass catchers. I totally agree with you. I want to see Njoku's target share consistently higher than, a couple weeks that we've seen it. But yeah, man, I feel like the issue with Chubb is the chances of you benching the guy very slim, just based on what we've seen and options at the running back position.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because he could easily end up having a nice fantasy day with just like 50 yards rushing, but he gets two goal line touchdowns. So I'm not saying bench him, manage your expectations, put it that way.
Absolutely. I won't be chasing him in DFS, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Before we move on, let's talk to the peeps about my bookie. We talk to you guys about this every week. When we started this podcast, ever since, we have people ask us for advice, usually what team we're going to bet on. Truth is, we have no idea. We think we do, but a lot of the times we are wrong. But if you think you do know who's going to win, you got to check out my bookie. We are urging you to check them out, man. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, bro, let's keep the money train going. Let's jump into the DFS pick, DFS stack. Who are you looking at this week to make some money, man? I need to win some money. I've had two bad weeks. I need to get back in the green.
Dude, I am loving some David Johnson as my pick to fire up this week. He is RB7 going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, 6,800 on DraftKings. And look, four of the last five games, dude's gotten 20 or more touches. And you look at the running backs that have taken on the Chiefs recently, okay? Three of the last four starting running backs that have faced them have all finished with above 18 rushing attempts, above 85 rushing yards, and a touchdown. The only outlier out of that entire four-game span was the Bengals just going away from Joe Mixon for no damn reason. Coming off a bye week, the fact that David Johnson, you look at what people have done in the early downs and just in the rushing category. So if we project that there is anything icing on top of that cake with Leftwich and this offense coming off the bye and installing David Johnson more in the passing game, that adds to that ceiling and makes him just a slam dunk to crush his price point going forward in this week, man. Look, I mean, we just saw Duke Johnson just ball out for 9 catches and 78 and 2 touchdowns. There's no way in hell that I think that David Johnson couldn't do that and add to it in the rushing department. As far as my stack this week, I'm sticking with my top game, man. Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett are both super cheap in DFS. On DraftKings, Russell Wilson is the quarterback 11 at 5,700. You have Tyler Lockett coming in as the wide receiver 29 at 4,800. And just their pricing and lineup construction just allows you to do so many different things. So if you want to run that stack, you can run it back easy with Gurley and hell, even stack like us talking about Robert Woods and this high point total. I love it, man. This game right now in Vegas has one of the highest over-unders right now at 51.5, and I absolutely think it's going to be up around there this week. How about you, Willie? Who you rocking in DFS?
First guy I got to snag is Josh Gordon, dude. Wide receiver 13 in terms of pricing on DraftKings, $6,000. And look, he's going to line up against Malcolm Butler a lot in this one. And what more of a Bill Belichick move than to
– You mean Allen Hurts, boy?
There you go. Then attempt to embarrass this guy. I mean, you saw the clip. He's doing a pretty good job of embarrassing himself. He's been terrible this year, man. And specifically against the go route, which Josh Gordon has been targeting on more than any other route. I fully expect Josh Gordon to take Butler to school this week. I will be putting him up. We saw last week what kind of ceiling he provides. And like you said, dude, we saw Allen Hurns look like freaking Julio Jones against Malcolm Butler. There was another play where Amari Cooper was taking him to school. Josh Gordon's he should have a monster week. And in terms of my stack, I'm going with Alex Smith and Jordan Reed here. $5,300 for Alex Smith, $4,400 for Jordan Reed. They're going up against Tampa Bay, man. That defense has been very, very giving when it comes to fantasy points, giving up a league high 34 points per game in general, fourth most yards allowed per game, number one in most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks and most passing touchdowns allowed. Jordan Reed is just the icing on the cake, man, because the Bucs defense is also giving up more fantasy points to tight ends than any other team and the most receiving yards to the position. So that matched up with the fact that Reed has fourth most air yards among tight ends over the past 3 weeks makes this stack juicy. I will love to have me some Alex Smith, Jordan Reed this week. I get people are frustrated with Alex Smith. Totally get that. But this is DFS, and you got to take some shots where the matchups say to take some shots.
Well, dude, you talked about it a second ago. I mean, Alex Smith had a great game last week. I say great by his standards, but still above 300 yards and a touchdown versus the Falcons last week. And I love your Reed pick because, I mean, honestly, dude, this could be a Maurice Harris chalk week. So pivoting off of that to Reed, I love the call, dude.
Absolutely, man. Let's go. Come on, Alex Smith. Win me some money, man. I will forgive you for everything. All right, dude. Let's move on over to that trade market, dude. We do this every week. Talk about some guys that are on the radar, whether it's this week or upcoming, to get rid of and to acquire. Let's start with guys we're trading for. Who's the first name?
Oh, my gosh, dude. This is a guy that I loved coming into the season, and I'm not quitting it now. I'm not quitting it now, considering he is now looking healthy down the stretch, and that's Dalvin Cook, dude. I love him. I got to trade for him, and I'm not telling you might not have to pay for him a little bit, but you float it out there, and you say, what about his hamstring? It could flare up. The thing that helps, and what I'm telling you to do, is now they have a bye week. I know he had a good game. All the reports came out that he was only going to play 10 to 20 snaps in last week's game. The dude ended up playing 57% of the snaps, outsnapped Latavius Murray, played more than 20 snaps, turned those 14 touches into 109 yards. We saw the 70-yard run. The thing that's going to go under the radar is the fact that he also had 4 targets, and that might not sound like a lot on face value, but when Kirk Cousins only threw the ball 22 times and that's an 18% target share, that is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And especially when you look at his fantasy playoff schedule, because we talked about it, it's getting close to title time. And this is a dude that could bring it home versus Seattle in the first week of the playoffs, who just got beat up by Melvin Gordon for 123 yards. Then he takes on Miami and he gets Detroit again, who are both top 10 option like matchups for the fantasy running backs. Dude, you got to be getting Dalvin Cook. I'm not quitting him, man. I love him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you just got to hope that 70-yarder didn't bump the value up too high. But I agree with you, dude. He can come up huge down the stretch and make up for this long stretch of injury for those guys that have kept him this whole time. My first guy, man, James Conner, and we talked about this on Monday's episode, dude. Why not? I mean, if you can get this guy for peanuts, based on the fact that Lev Bell theoretically has to report this week, this dude has performed beyond anyone's expectations. And we talked about this. The Steelers would be absolutely stupid to just park this guy on the bench and say, all right, Lev, go ahead and jump on in. What if Bell doesn't show up? Or if he does and he isn't in shape and he sees minimal playing time, it's worth giving up somebody cheap to roll the dice if somebody's freaking out if they don't have Lev Bell, in my opinion. Real quick, name game. Lamar Miller for James Conner. Which side are you going with?
Oh, dear God, dude. James Conner. Easily. Exactly. You know where I'm saying, dude. I don't think Bell's back, man. So
yes, yeah. And see, you're on the aggressive side. I think a lot of people are kind of counting down the time. I think you might be able to get, James Conner for Josh Gordon or something like that, based on yep. Lev Bell's presence coming in the door. So yeah, he's absolutely a guy that I'm sending some offers out to see if I can get him for cheap. All right, trade away. Who are you getting rid of?
I've talked about him on Twitter today, man, with all the AJ Green news coming out, dude. And this is a guy I just don't see his value increasing down the stretch. And that's Tyler Boyd. He is wide receiver 14 and PPR. And I feel like that's one of the best things that can help you package him up, or hell, trade him away as a top 20 wide receiver in fantasy right now. Because there's so many trappings that you consider and get to be like, all right, without AJ, he's going to get a target bump. But really, is he? I mean, he was already averaging after week one, 8.7 targets per game. This between me and you, that's not what you tell the other owners in the league. You're like, this dude's going to get 12 to 15 targets every single game. Who else are they going to throw it to? What concerns me about Tyler Boyd, I know he plays the slot, and I know he gets what I think is going to be a marginal bump in volume. If they do not move him outside, which easily could happen, we've seen injuries underperformance. Hell, the Eagles had to do it with Nelson Aguilar. They played him outside, even though they knew that's not where he was most effective. It's what they had to do. Or if defenses shade more attention, they double cover him, they bracket him, then Tyler Boyd's not going to see the same looks and be running free, as opposed to earlier in the season when you had AJ drawing number one corners. And you look at his rest of the season schedule. They take on Baltimore, Cleveland, Denver, Chargers. They get Oakland's a damn wash, so we're not going to talk about them. But then they take on Cleveland again. So you're talking about a bevy of corners, top corners that shadow people. And if there's nobody else to shadow besides Tyler Boyd, because you have Jimmy Smith, Denzel Ward, you have Chris Harris in the slot for the Broncos, Casey Hayward, and then he gets Ward again. I don't think that Boyd's value goes up for the rest of the season. If anything, I think it's going to go down. I think they're going to struggle. And this is a sell high, an absolute sell high, which has been created also by AJ Green's injury right now. But I got to get your take. Where do you sit on Boyd for the rest of the season, Willie?
I guess I lean more towards what you're saying. Just because we've seen this before, just because opportunity opens up doesn't mean one guy eats it and all of a sudden his value goes up. I agree with you. Green takes a ton of attention off of Boyd, and that cannot be overlooked. So I lean more towards you, but I totally get if somebody wants to hang on to Boyd and see how things play out for a week. But, I mean, don't be surprised if we do see a drop from him just because, you know, you're anticipating something different.
Anybody that wants to see how this might go, what happened to Adam Thielen last week when Stephon Diggs was out?
Right. It was right. Adam Thielen's about to eat, right? No, it's not that simple. I mean, it's huge to have somebody lined up as well that can divert, mm-hmm. you know, significant attention for you to work. All right, dude, guy, I'm trading away, and I know this does not sound, I'm bringing up the same guy's name twice, but it's Josh Gordon. And look, I'm not saying to do it this week, but if you have to, if you feel comfortable with your matchup, then do it because he has a bye next week, and we know how hard it is to trade somebody on a bye, you know, especially this time of the year. And for one, he is coming off his best game as a Patriot. More importantly, for me, you just talked about corners, and this guy's remaining schedule is rough minus next week. He has Tennessee, and then he has that bye. So Tennessee, I do expect a big game this week. Perfect example, I'm in a matchup that I feel pretty confident in, and I have some guys that I can plug and play, so I'm trying to flip him now. But if you want, you're not going to be able to trade him next week, more than likely, on the bye weeks. You'd have to wait. But look, he is going to be facing, once he comes off that bye, these are the following cornerbacks: Tremaine Johnson, Xavier Rhodes, should be closer to 100%. By then, Xavier Howard, Joe Hayden, Tre'Davious White in week 16. We know, if anything we know about the Patriots, man, it's that they attack the weakness of the defenses they play. None of those cornerbacks fall into that category for me. I don't think this is – I'm not saying to trade him based on his talent. I'm saying based on the team he plays for and the fact that we do have guys on this team, two in particular that currently have – higher target share over the past 3 weeks when you look at Julian Edelman, and we know what James White is going to do. He's going to continue to be that consistent. You know, he's looking at a 26% target share over those past 3 weeks. You throw Rob Gronkowski back in the mix. While I love Josh Gordon, I do think he can produce. I don't see a high ceiling in this upcoming schedule, and that's what you want. You want guys that are going to put you over the top, and I think Josh Gordon, his value is at an all-time high right now coming off that monster game. So I do not mind flipping him for somebody like an Emmanuel Sanders.
To add to your trade away stack, dude, everybody talks about it every single year, and this cannot be forgotten right now. Getting rid of Josh Gordon is the Tom Brady fade every single year down the stretch. If Sony Michel comes back, and when it gets cold outside, they're able to ride the run game down the stretch and those passing attempts go down, much less you're talking about the other weapons coming back and the split target shares, as well as everything else with the cornerbacks. Yeah, it means bad things for Josh Gordon, dude. I love your take on this.
What I'm saying is play him heavily in DFS, but trade his ass if you can afford to in your regular season. Absolutely, man. We'll see. The talent's there. It doesn't play out on paper. I mind that is a wrap. Like I said, you can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Derek at DBro_FFB and check us out on the main page at FFB_247. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Stay tuned for tomorrow's show. I will be on with our guest of the week, and we will go over some Thursday night football. We're going to prep some start sits of the week. And, of course, we'll have Ethan on his last on-air breakdown of the injuries leading into Week 10, man. All right, we'll catch you next time. DBro.